Welcome to a post-game edition of Locked On Grizzlies for this Tuesday morning. Hope you are doing well. Hope you're better than the Grizzlies, for example, who continue to look extremely up and down in a lot of these games. And this was another example of that, losing 110-103 in Milwaukee to close out the five-game road trip. 2-3, a road trip that promised a lot and looked like, after the Portland situation and after what had happened with the Clippers, looked pretty darn good and kind of ended on a little bit of a buzzkill. Not looking especially good, not looking especially strong. Some concerns from a lot of people, particularly from fans of Mike Conley, about his performance. And if you're a Grizzly fan, you got to be concerned as well. We're going to hear from Mike in postgame coming up a little bit later on. One particular comment that he had that they thought was worth passing along to you. And it's one that I'm not surprised by, but it sort of indicates that he's not healthy. And I think that's probably, it's not good news by any stretch of the imagination, but it's good news in the sense that, you know, there's no way that he shouldn't be playing like this if he's fully healthy. So at least it confirms that there's something else going on. For the Grizzlies, this was a classic case again of that thing that you saw so much of last year and the year before. Not as much this year, but really a big problem for them in years past, that third quarter. This was a classic third quarter issue. Although, to be fair, it stretched into the very back end of the second quarter, too, where the Grizzlies were up 10 and cruising and gave the Bucks 6 quick points to end the first half and give them a little momentum going into the second half, which they rode. And they rode to a ridiculous 24-12 third quarter. And frankly, the 24 was good defense from the Grizzlies for the last 4 minutes or so. Otherwise, it would have been far, far worse than that. It was a 12-point third quarter for the Grizzlies. That's 12 points. And frankly, two of those buckets came in the last 45 seconds from Tyreke Evans, who we'll talk about momentarily. Otherwise, it would have been a 7 or 8 point quarter for the Grizzlies. They made 5 baskets, committed 6 turnovers, scored 12 points in the third quarter. And yet, because of their defense, they were still not only in the game, but poised to take the lead in the fourth quarter thanks to Tyreke freaking Evans. Buckets. My man just lives, eats, drinks, breathes buckets. I titled this podcast, Tyreke's Shoulders Are Only So Wide, because, well, his shoulders are only so wide. My God, how much can you put on this guy? How much can you throw out there? How much can you lean on one man to get you points, to score, to put your offense on his back? Everyone else, apart from probably Dylan Brooks, was just watching this man work. Late in the game, it didn't matter. Early in the fourth, late in the fourth, the only guy that looked like a consistent threat to do anything for the Grizzlies was Tyreke Evans. He scored 20 points in the second half. The rest of the Grizzlies combined scored 18 points in the second half. Tyreke was 9 of 13 from the field in the second half. Dylan Brooks, to his credit, was 3 of 4. From the field in the second half. The rest of the Grizzlies, the other guys that played, including your max guys, your 3 highest paid players, and the 2 in particular, Mike and Mark, Chandler Parsons, he's the 3rd highest, but come on. Those guys, all of them, everybody else, combined 2 of 21 from the field in the second half. Everybody else who's not named Tyreke or Dylan on the team, 2 of 21 shooting. Pitiful, pathetic, embarrassing. Poop-tacular. Scrum-trelescent. Actually, that would be good. It was bad, man. Bad, horrible, nightmarish. Throw out whatever you want to throw out there. It was rough. And there's only so much that these guys can do. You know, the Bucks really gave the Grizzlies opportunities. First half, the Grizzlies shot, you know, in the neighborhood of 60% when it was all said and done, because the Bucks were too eager to trap, too active in their help defense. They've always been, you know, that's the style that Jason Kidd wants to employ. A lot, they use their length, their tremendous, everybody out there has got length. Everyone's got long arms. Everyone's got big strides. Everyone is able to cover a lot of ground. They like to use their athleticism to make it hard for a team to work. But when the Grizzlies were moving the ball like they were in the first half, you can get a lot of easy looks. And the Grizzlies did. Got a lot of easy looks in that first half. And it made the Bucks pay for over-helping, over-correcting, overdoing everything. But in the second half, they recalibrated a little bit. And the Grizzlies stopped moving the ball quite as much and made it a little bit easier for them. And that combination led to the issue and, you know, really a dam that was built. And the only way to make that dam burst was Tyreke Evans, who was a one-man wrecking crew. Just getting to the basket over and over and over again. And then once they start to fall, he gets the confidence, the outside shot starts to fall, and he's just a spectacular player. As I tweeted out after the game, last night, Tyreke is one of only seven players in the NBA who is playing at least 300 minutes. So he's played at least 300 minutes. Who averages more than 30 points per 48 minutes. Tyreke definitely does that. He's averaging 32. And who shoots over 50% from the field. Greek Freak is one of them. You saw him. LeBron, KD, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, LaMarcus Aldridge, Tyreke Evans. That's it. That's the list. A group of basically all-stars, a few MVPs, and Tyreke Evans. He's been incredibly good. He's been better in the half court than at any point in his career. He's been very effective in transition, and he's getting more transition opportunities this year with the Grizzlies than in any other season of his career. He really is redefining what that bench scoring role is for the Grizzlies, because there's nobody that's come close to doing this. I don't know how much longer he can keep it up, but it is incredibly fun to watch. The dude is irrepressible right now. And the Grizzlies need every single one of those buckets, because nobody else is doing much of anything right now. I mentioned nobody else doing much of anything for the Grizzlies, and you know that there's a lot of guys that applies to. Dylan Brooks, not one of them. He had a very good game, you know, by his standards, and was one of the few bright spots again for the Grizzlies in this ball game. Mario Chalmers had a better game, although he turned the ball over too much and fouled out of the ball game. But he was okay. Brandon Wright had one of his better games. Offensively found good spots and was able to take advantage with a really nice run in the second quarter, especially. Now, it was those guys are you can kind of exclude them from the discussion for the most part. Well, let's start with one of the funnier little cameos. Ben McLemore had a two-minute stretch in the third quarter where he turned the ball over three consecutive possessions and committed two fouls in 2 minutes. I don't think you'll ever see a worse basketball performance in those 2 minutes than that. It's hard to beat. It's hard to beat that. And our buddies over at Fast Break Breakfast, their podcast, at Fast Break Break, on Twitter. Those guys do great work. We've had Keith on the show numerous times. Great guy and a great group. They, in addition to some creative artwork they did on my Mike Conley shot charts, which you can check out, they also point out that I think he's only the second player, Ben McLemore, in NBA history, at least the recorded history in terms of these stats, to play 11 or more minutes in a game, and he played just over 11, and get three fouls, three turnovers, and nothing else statistically. And that is true. He put up a 11 trillion, and yet did literally, there's nothing on that stat sheet except for turnovers and fouls. That's hard to do. 11 plus, almost 12 minutes, and you don't take a shot, you don't get a rebound, you don't get an assist, you don't do any, nothing, you've added zero productivity on the positive side. Zero. Not a great game. In his second game back for Ben McLemore, the acclimation is slow. Let's just say slow. But the one that the guys that will get the most attention, Mike and Mark, and rightly so. James Ennis was not very good, but the expectation level for James Ennis is pretty low. Jarrell Martin, not very good. Again, same kind of thing. The starting unit is, until things get settled, it's just, it's almost a disaster. Not quite, but close. And you're starting, it feels like, you know, 3-on-5 at best with that group. But the guys that are going to get the most attention, Mark and Mike. As for Mark, you know, I didn't think Mark was horrendous tonight because, I mean, the numbers are pretty good. 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, that's not terrible. But defensively, particularly down the stretch, he was a total non-factor. If anything, he was a bonus for the Bucks. He was so concerned about helping. He was so concerned about Greek Freak. He was so concerned about, you know, the other guys for the Bucks. He forgot to guard John Henson. And Henson had a really productive outing as a result. The dude goes 8 of 10 for 17 points, 8 boards, including 4 on the offensive end, 3 assists, 2 blocks, no turnovers for him. So Henson pretty much outplayed Marc Gasol. That should never happen. That should never happen. John Henson isn't half the player, talent-wise and everything else, that Marc Gasol is. But when Mark lets him play, doesn't really step up, doesn't really keep his head where it needs to be, is concerned about what other stuff that's going on, and loses focus on John Henson himself, and Henson can score and use his length and you'll be able to get after it. It's, you know, he's not a horrendous player. He can score if you let him. And that's really what happened with Mark tonight. Mentally, just was not there. Didn't think he was particularly great offensively either. And, you know, he continues to be one of the worst defensive rating guys on the floor. The defense continues to be better with him off the floor. That was the case last year. It continues to be the case this year. It's not like it's a, you know, brief 11-12 game thing. This has been going on for a while with Mark. I don't know if the offensive... If I remember, we talked about this a fair bit last year, and there's a lot of theories that you might want to throw out there, talking about the Achilles, talking about the pace, talking about new systems, all this stuff, but you know, it continues to be the same kind of thing. And you just wonder if what's being asked of him is possible, if he's able to do it. Is he able to? Is he able to do what he needs to do on the offensive end, what they're asking him to do out there, and then come and help out defensively? You know, the system where it's a little more aggressive, does that suit him? Is he physically capable of handling it? Mentally, is he into it? I don't know. You know, these are all the questions that I think are fair to ask at this point with Mark. But the truth is, it's just not really clicking. It's not working. Part of it also, to be fair to him, is playing a significant amount of time, playing a lot of minutes with that starting unit is going to hurt anybody. very, very little that you can do playing alongside Jarrell, Andrew Harrison for a while, and you know now Brooks, Ennis. It's not a great group, and it's really not a great group when Mike Conley struggles the way he has, and his struggles are real. The numbers for Mike Conley are pretty ugly. 2 of 12 from the field overall. Both of those two came from behind the three-point line. So he was 0 for inside the arc. 7 points, 2 assists, minus 13 in the game, and was absolutely irrelevant down the stretch. The exact opposite of what you expect from Mike Conley. He was a decoy. He was a non-factor. Just never really entered into the equation down the stretch of this game, and it was sad. I don't remember Conley being so irrelevant, and you just wonder what's really going on with Mike. His now shooting percentage on the year now down to 38%. His numbers are alarming. Again, you go to our friends at Fast Break Breakfast to point out that he's now gone scoreless in 3 of his last 6 halves that he's played. And I posted his shooting charts this year compared to last year, and it is down across the board. Across the board. And as they pointed out, if you put the two shooting charts together, it looks like a butt. And they suggested that maybe poop should come out of that butt because that's how he's been playing. Maybe so. That's a tasteful way to look at it, I think. He's been playing like poop, unfortunately, as have the Grizzlies in large portions. But why? Why? You know, it's not as if Mike, should be undergoing a huge slump necessarily. He's been getting better historically year on year on year. He has been better and better and better. And he started off the year very strongly. He was 9 of 15 in that opener against New Orleans. Everything looked like it was heading in the right direction with Mike. But of late, you know, it has spiraled and not gone well. And I can't stress enough, you know, no matter what the numbers say, and he was 0 for 7 from the field in the second half. He's really, really struggling. But all the numbers aside, like the most alarming thing to me was just how he was an absolute non-factor. He was not even thought about. He didn't touch the ball on a lot of possessions. You know, he was very much off the ball, but beyond off the ball, he just wasn't even, he was off the play. He was out there, but he wasn't a part of it. And that's, you know, when stuff like that happens, you just can't have your max guy, one of the best players in the league last year, particularly in the clutch, you can't have him be just a non-entity. That is an unacceptable situation. And Mike, for his part, has always been very accessible through struggles, good times, bad. He's usually, you know, on the ball, happy to discuss post-game with whatever, you know, with whoever's there, whatever happens to be the topic, whatever needs to be discussed. He's generally pretty straight on with all that stuff. And I thought it was telling that his answer, you know, Ron Tillery asked the question about his Achilles situation and where it stands right now. And I thought his answer was pretty interesting.
I can't say it's a little bit different, but you know, I'm just gonna continue to try to see what I can do going forward and figure out a way to help the team as best I can, whether that is, you know, spacing the floor playing or whether I need to sit down, either one. But just I'm gonna do whatever's best for the team.
Is that on the table for the second break where it makes sense, where you get a lot of rest?
That's always on the table, you know, at this point with what's going on. So you just got to figure it out, man. It's tough. It's tough to manage.
Well, that to me is a little worrisome. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I mean, on the one hand, you are probably somewhat relieved because at least you know that he hasn't just completely fallen off the face of the earth as a player. But on the other hand, it's a sore Achilles that has already kept him out of one game. Could potentially now stand to keep him out of more. And, you know, down down the stretch, down the line, there's only so much that you can do without Mike Conley. You know, right now he's playing well below par, but he's playing. And you know, now if he doesn't play, then those minutes get redistributed, and you get a whole hell of a lot worse. So whatever this Achilles situation is, it sounds like, and if you could see his face when he was talking, you know, he definitely doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look healthy when you're out, when he's out there. I mean, I was looking back at some of the footage from last year, year before for Mike, and watching some of the same stuff that the Grizzlies run, and he just had so much more zip. He had so much more ability to maneuver with his dribbles. You know, if you look at his isolation numbers in Synergy, if you look at isolations last year versus this year, I mean, he is significantly worse this year. You know, last year he was in the 83rd percentile in terms of isolation offense, shot 44% overall and 51% effective field goal percentage. This year, that number is 29% overall and 33% effective field goal percentage, putting him in the 20th percentile or so, rather than the 80th, a significant drop-off. And again, isolation, I bring that up because that's really an indicator to me of his own personal physical well-being. How quickly can you get around a guy? How can you finish? What is it that you like to do? All that stuff is on him, and it hasn't worked out especially well. You know, when he's passed the ball, it has been a huge success, and he's done it out of the 32 isolation possessions that he has had, or the 39, I should say. He has driven or finished or in some way finished the play on 32 of them. Seven of them he has passed, and the Grizzlies have scored 20 points out of those plays. So you can see it's been much more effective for them and for him to pass the ball in those situations. But you know, that's one example. Last year the Grizzlies took Mike Conley off screens a fair bit, about 9% of the time in Mike's offense, and he was in the 97th percentile in those. Was spectacular off the screen. This year it's down to the 4th percentile. He is one of the worst players off screens early on. Again, the sample size on those is still pretty small, so I wouldn't go crazy on it, but that's about as dramatic a drop-off as you can possibly have. Again, an example of using your feet, your ability to move, you know, coming off of a screen and either, you know, pulling up for the shot or, you know, grabbing the ball and, you know, driving to the basket. That yet requires you to be able to cut and move, and it just has not happened for Mike the way that it normally would. So that's a big concern. It's a big concern. Now I wonder, will he play tomorrow in FedEx Forum, in the return to FedEx Forum? It's been 2 weeks since the Grizzlies were actually playing at home, play a feisty, surprisingly good Indiana team. You know, will Mike Conley be part of that, be able to play against his home state? Remains to be seen. Same thing with Houston. Wonder, too, if Jermichael Green can come back. You know, will you see him? He was listed as doubtful for this ballgame, which is the first time he's been listed at all on the injury report since his injury in the first game of the season. I still think he probably won't return, but if they could expedite it, that would be handy. They need a little help. And yeah, if not then I think Houston on Saturday is a strong target for that return date. That's kind of the plan. It's the way they've been pushing for it. And so far, they've gone pretty much according to plan with his situation. So, you know, we'll see with the Grizzlies what they can do against Indiana. We'll talk tomorrow on the pod. It'll be a draft Wednesday. Reminder, go over to draft and go ahead and get that downloaded and get that rolling. You want to make some big time money, you can do that with that draft app and have some fun in the process. We'll be doing that tomorrow on the pod. Also, we'll preview tomorrow night's game with Indiana as the Grizzlies at 7-6 look to bounce back off of a two-game losing streak to wrap up this road trip, but it won't be easy. Take on a very tricky Pacers squad. We'll talk about it then. Thanks so much for listening and downloading, rating, reviewing, all of those things that you have done. I appreciate it. If you can do it again, that would be great. Thank you again for all the support. You've been Locked On Grizzlies.